The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Fred Brack from the Triangle Radio Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. Want to talk to them? Try 919-781-1973. And we thank them for sponsoring Our State for so many years now. And it's time to break open the cover in a brand new issue of Our State magazine celebrating North Carolina. This one for July 2019. It's a good opportunity to thank the fine folks at Our State for sharing this copy with us gratis so that we may read it for you, as I've been doing for over 10 years now. Our theme this month is Summer in a Sandwich. There is a picture of a Vegetarian's Delight sandwich here, I'll tell you that. It's three pieces of bread, and no, it's actually four pieces of bread because there's two in the middle. Or maybe what it is one sandwich cut in half and the second half is stacked on top. That's probably what it is. What we see between the slices of bread is absolutely gorgeous tomato slices with a little mayonnaise slopping over the top tomato. So we got two pieces of tomato in each one, and that must be, rather than two sandwiches, it must be one cut in half. Tomato time, it says on the side. North Carolina heirloom gurus, six must-eat maters, the secret dish of Bertie County, and a gardener's confession, and more. And if we get around to it, they have perfect getaways: Lake Norman, town hopping by the water, and Max Patch, making memories at 4,600 feet. Not sure what that's about. Don't even know if we'll get to it. But, you know, we roll on through the magazine and see what we come up with. But on this, the first reading of each month, we'll start with the Welcome to Our State by our editor in chief, Elizabeth Hudson. A Time to Every Purpose. Several years ago, a reader sent me a Victorinox Swiss Army serrated tomato knife in the mail. It's got a red handle, and it stands out among all the other knives in my kitchen utensil drawer. I use it nearly every day in the summer, but only to slice tomatoes. Its intended purpose is for the sandwiches I practically live off of, and every time I think of the kindness of someone I only know through the pages of Our State. In the era of multitasking, I prefer a single-purpose gadget. It's an appreciation I probably got from my dad. He was a gadget man. Oh, I wish you could have seen all the kitchen utensils my dad had lined up so neatly in our drawers. He had a tool for everything: the two-sided melon baller, although we only ever sliced cantaloupe and watermelon into wedges, the wire egg slicer that cut hard-boiled eggs into 1/8-inch strips, an assortment of wooden-handled potato mashers, the garlic press, the butter molds, the strawberry stem remover, skewers, graters, and a pasta maker that sat on top of the counter. Although, like that melon baller, he never used it. I only ever saw the blue Mueller's box in our house, its recipe for classic lasagna torn from the back of the box and taped to the inside of the cabinet door. We had a cheese slicer attached to a wooden cutting board and a handheld vegetable chopper. You pumped the handle with your palm, and sharp blades in the glass jar cut up onions and carrots. We had a hand crank ice crusher mounted to the side of the cabinet over the sink, and a Hamilton Beach Drink Master in mint green for my dad's milkshakes. always with Seal Test chocolate ice cream. Some of my favorite gadgets, aside from that milkshake maker, were the corn holders he kept in a box and skewered to the ends of our corn on the cob in the summer. He had a box of bamboo ones from Reed Runners, a gift shop that was in Friendly Center in Greensboro for many years, and a set in the shape of miniature ears of corn, two stainless steel picks on their ends. I remember my dad skewering a hot ear of corn on my plate for me and teaching me his trick of twirling the corn on a stick of butter, leaving a little valley in the top until my mother smoothed it back out with a butter knife. He made sandwiches for Mom and me in the summer, homemade egg salad, pimento cheese, BLTs. Now that sandwich was a production, and I loved to watch my dad assemble that sandwich the same way every time. Bottom slice of bread, toasted. Marita old-fashioned white, slathered in mayonnaise. Three strips of bacon, Oscar Mayer, the only brand he'd consider buying. Next came tomatoes, picked that morning from his garden and still sun warm. Four slices, 1/8 inch thick, overlapping, salted and peppered. Crisp iceberg lettuce on top of all that, dried with a paper towel to keep the bread from getting soggy. A final smear of mayonnaise on the top piece of toasted bread, and it cut straight down the center with a serrated bread knife. A purpose for everything. And then my dad would slide our sandwiches over to my mom and me, smiling, satisfied with such a humble act of caretaking, of providing another purpose fulfilled. Now, this is when I normally push the button and we hear some nice music as I read you the pictorial, but seeing as how I managed to pick up a CD which has vocals on it, that isn't going to work this time, so you'll just hear my voice. And my voice is a little bit craggy, getting over one of those summer colds, hoping I can make it through okay and not pushing my voice too much, so I keep it down here so I won't get worse by the end of the broadcast today. Hopefully. The theme this month of our pictorial is the lake life. Lake Norman is the big one, our inland sea, the anchor for a region. Its 520-mile shoreline is a thread that knits together the surrounding communities, so much so that many visitors think of the area as a whole, one town flowing into the next. But we can see what makes each one special. Now here on the cover page, we have a man on a paddleboard and a woman on the paddleboard. They are each taking a dip into the water with their sole paddle and standing up a lot better than I remember me standing up on a paddleboard. They don't seem to be in danger of falling off. The theme says access points, or rather the picture at the bottom left says access points, like this one at Ramsey Creek Park in Cornelius. Let everyone enjoy a view from the water. Don't have your own stand-up paddleboard or kayak? Aloha Paddle Sports in Cornelius and Davidson can rent you one. And this series, or this particular pictorial, is written by Katie St. Singh. Apparently, the four towns around the lake are Davidson, Cornelius, Mooresville, and Huntersville, because there's little pictures of each town with the name underneath on the right-hand side. So here's a picture of Lake Norman. It really is very spidery. It looks like some sort of a bacteria or something like that, with lots of little craggly arms going out. Tons of little creeks off of the lake. And there we see Huntersville, Cornelius, Davidson, and Mooresville as the towns on the right-hand side of the lake. The towns were there first, Mooresville and Davidson, Cornelius and Huntersville. All were founded long before Lake Norman was a spark in the mind of a power company executive. In 1963, Duke Power completed the Cowans Ford Dam to harvest electricity from the Catawba River. The lake began to fill, and the future of those once rural towns was forever altered. Today, Lake Norman reaches its watery fingers into four counties and across 32,500 acres. It has shaped the geography, culture, and identity of a region, turning farmlands into vacation destinations. The water isn't always visible from the communities that dot its shoreline, but you know it's there just beyond the trees. Now we see a downtown street here. This town has obviously been around a long time. Almost every building is a brick front building. It says Mooresville. No, you can't see Lake Norman from the corner of Main Street and Moore Avenue. What you can see, the historic heart of a community that got going with the railroad in the 19th century. Mooresville has been a farming town, a textile town, a lakeside town. It was known for a time as the port city of Lake Norman. It's grown a lot since those early days, but here on its downtown sidewalks, it still has plenty of small-town charm. Overleaf, more of Mooresville, this one says, racing and relics, wheels and deals. In the 1980s and 90s, more than 50 NASCAR teams set up shop in Mooresville, earning the community a new moniker, Race City USA. The North Carolina Auto Racing Hall of Fame, pictured here above, and Memory Lane Museum features stock cars, racing suits, and die-cast model automobiles on display. A history of the sport in objects. On North Broad Street, American Classic Antique Mall, pictured here on the right, is a museum of a different kind, yet every bit is packed with local history. So when we look at the North Carolina Auto Racing Hall of Fame, we see NASCAR vehicles here. Some of them are old and some of them are fairly new and, you know, fancy, the real low ones. But there's one here that looks like a really old car. I don't know what, it's not really a Model T, but, you know, somewhere between there and the 1950s or whatever. And then there's a bunch of older model cars from the 60s, I would say. Not car expert, but that's my opinion. And when we look at the museum of the Classic Antique Mall, we see an old girl's bicycle in the window, and it's got a pail hanging from it, RC Cola cardboard container, a carton filled with bottles, and a sign says Diet Right Cola over it. Very old, I might add. On all occasions, drink cheer wine. There's a football, a decoy, a clock on the wall, a rope ladder, the kind that you might use to escape from a second floor, and a whole bunch of other stuff you just have to have. You know how it goes. And now on to Davidson, Destination Dining. North Harbor Club. These yellow umbrellas are an icon of Davidson, where this college town meets the water. On sunny days, North Harbor Club's patio offers an unbeatable view of the marina, including 9 slips for diners who prefer to boat their way to crab cakes, shrimp, grits, and lobster mac and cheese. Nice picture of the restaurant here on the right. It's got a lot of yellow umbrellas out over all of the tables that are outside. And here we see some of those. We see those 6 slips that they referred to. There's boats in 2 of them. So you can come there by boat, get off on the dock, and walk right up a little ramp and eat and enjoy the beautiful view of the harbor. More destination dining in Davidson. Summit Coffee Company. Davidson history is so entwined with a college located there that the two were founded the same year, 1837, and the community itself was originally known as Davidson College. So it makes sense that the town and gown remain closely tied. Summit Coffee Company is owned by a pair of alumni, and its flagship location, or Base Camp Cafe, has caffeinated and employed students since 1998, when it opened in a 19th century building on Main Street across from the school. A second location, the Outpost, naturally, is right on campus. There's a picture of a young lady holding a very large cup of coffee. You could almost call it a mug, but it's in the shape of a cup with one of those fancy swirled designs in the center. And in front of the Summit Coffee Company on the left, which is a two-story sort of a white stucco building, there's a young lady walking by with a white dog. And there are two other women. All three of them have backpacks on, as you might expect college students to have as they cart their books from class to class. And on the right, the soda shop, Davidson's Real Deal 50s Diner, opened at the M&M, opened as the M&M Soda Shop nearly 70 years ago. And the place is charmingly unchanged. You can still take a seat at the old-fashioned lunch counter and order burgers, dogs, and unnecessary necessaries, like sundaes, shakes, and floats, your choice of soda. Flip through the photo albums stacked at one end of the counter to see wildcats from the generation back, many of them likely fueled up the same way with a big O, which is orangeade, or a big L, lemonade, and a chicken salad or pimento cheese sandwich. Overleaf, we're still in Davidson. Destination dining. Mandolino's grandma-style pizza. Think rectangular, baked in a sheet pan. Executive chef Bill Schultz, or Schutz, rather, borrowed the idea from the Nonnas of Long Island in New York, where he grew up before working in kitchens around the world and finally settling in North Carolina. If your grandma didn't make a signature pizza, try Schutz's Pigs on a Wing with fennel, Italian sausage, mozzarella, and basil. And add a field lettuce salad with shaved fennel and green goddess dressing. Grandma would want you to eat or greens, and they're all pictured over here to the left. This is a beautiful-looking pizza in the pan, and it's been served out on several bowls, and then here, well, somebody's got a bruschetta over here, the tomatoes and everything, a big slab of mozzarella cheese underneath, and some balsamic vinegar. It looks wonderful. And how about Kindred? By now, you've heard of Chef Joe and Katie Kindred's Marvel on Main Street, which has earned national attention. Surely you've heard about the magical pillowy milk bread that kicks off every meal. The Kindreds, pictured here, who met in Chicago and eventually moved their family to Davidson, where Joe grew up, have a knack for making fine, chef-driven food, a warm, communal, fun experience. Theirs is a place where you can order Wagyu beef tartare that arrives looking like a tapestry, followed by chocolate birthday cake and ice cream with rainbow sprinkles. Picture of the restaurant here. It's brick, two-story. We're just looking at the first story. The name Kindred, with a blue, yellow letters on a blue background, are above a very wide expanse of wood that looks very similar to my mantle over my fireplace at home. And then there's some, I'm not quite sure what it is, whether it's gray tiles or it's opaque windows. And then you've got two great big square picture windows, both of which say Kindred, and you get four tables out front with two couples enjoying their meals. Now we move on to Huntersville, history and nature. Historic Latta Plantation. At about 3 p.m., Ian Campbell expects the Cotswold sheep to come around looking for dinner. After a decade at Latta Plantation, he knows this land and these animals, including Maud the mule and Oreo the donkey. If there's a wood smoke smell in the air, that means Susan I don't know whether you pronounce her name Worcester or Worcester like you would in Massachusetts, but we'll call it Worcester, immerse visitors in the lifestyle of the Piedmont backcountry, an experience, not just a tour, and that means discussing a diversity of experiences. The interpreters pass on stories of the 33 enslaved people who lived there, like Suki, who arrived at age 12 and lived to see freedom. So, here's the man with the donkey and a woman inside dressed in period outfit in front of a big fire with a big fireplace with a small fire going, and she's picking at some vegetables or something like that in a bowl. And over to the right, they're having a little talk with some visitors at the door with a lot of wood stacked outside the white clapboard building. Here's a picture of a woman looking at an owl, and the owl is looking straight at us. She's holding this owl on one heck of a gloved arm. I'll tell you, their talons will really take a piece out of you. Members of the Raptor Center's education team, including Kate Shaner, education and program manager, and Black Bart, a Eurasian eagle owl, traveled to schools and libraries to spread the word on birds. Carolina Raptor Center. All of the eagles, owls, hawks, vultures, and falcons along the Carolina Raptor Center's 3/4 mile trail share 4 traits in common: a hooked beak, sharp talons, keen eyesight, and a carnivorous diet. And they're captivating. The vultures especially have a devoted fan base. They're smart and personable, and some of them even finger paint. The Raptor Hospital began with a single patient in 1981 when Dr. Dick Brown treated a broad-winged hawk in the basement of the biology building at UNC Charlotte. Now, staff members believe this to be the largest raptor rehab center in the world. Most summer weekends, birds soar over an audience as part of a flight show, and sometimes there are avian meet and greets. The Raptor Center connects people to nature, showing that birds of prey, like all creatures, need our care and protection. There's a signpost here, and I don't really know what the number... Oh, I guess it's a number stands for feet. There are signs pointing to the left or to the right. It says Merlin, 73 feet. Peregrine Falcon, 98 feet. Saker Falcon, 139 feet. Crested Caracara, 35 feet. And Eagles, 400 feet to the right. And some folks walking through the wooded area to visit these birds of prey. Cornelius Beaches and Buoys, hello, sailor. 2 years after Joe and Katie Kindred made a splash in Davidson, they opened Hello, Sailor, a waterfront homage to Joe's childhood on Lake Norman. Growing up, his family ate at Harbor Lights, a restaurant that used to occupy the building. Then it was a no-frills fish camp kind of place. Now it features stylish mid-century decor, baskets of fried shrimp, bowls of hush puppies, and a beloved fried bologna sandwich. In other words, a menu full of memories. Pictured here are some of the food plates. This looks like one's on kind of a paper oblong serving tray. It's got some, see, it says the Kindreds work with Chef Craig Deal to pair fish camp classics like salt and pepper catfish and calabash shrimp with updated sides like avocado coleslaw and beef fat fries. Boy, it's hard to find beef fat fries. Everything looks delicious there. And then we have D9 Brewing. D9 is what happens when two engineers and a doctor get to the brewing business. Beer becomes another path to scientific discovery. That translates into plenty of sour beer experiments, like the Sistema Naturae series, in which the brewers explore the natural world through intriguing botanical pairings like scuppernong and lily or cherry and sunflower. But the tap room is much more community gathering place than mad scientist laboratory. D9 may not be on the water, but there's a certain spirit of lakeside business, or rather breeziness, to its IPAs, like Hakuna Matata and its award-winning cucumber and melon ghosts, a laid-back summer's sipper named what else? Brewer's Day Off. That's D9 Brewing. And lastly, in Cornelius Beaches and Buoys, we have Jeton Park. Change has come swiftly to this area, once devoted to growing corn and cotton. With big city neighbor Charlotte to the south, there's a wellspring of interest in these lakefront communities and a steady stream of travelers who commute from here or arrive to spend a day. Life is busier, faster, and we might zip right past the wonder of a 32,500-acre lake where there once was farmland. But Lake Norman holds a memory of something simpler in its coves, places where time slows down to picnic, play tennis, walk trails, or sun on the beach, or just simply chill. Picture of a father and two boys. He's bouncing a soccer ball off of his knee in front of the lake. And that is the end of the pictorial. We're just going to zip right to the back of the magazine. It says, back in the day, we don't usually read this, North Carolina's hidden history. Dip, dive, slip, and slide. Remember really big pools? I do. I used to go to one that was just a large concrete swimming hole, a cement pond, as the Beverly Hillbillies would have called it. It was just a big water-filled thing with no mud and no fish and no questionable sanitation standards. Excuse me, and questionable sanitation standards. I loved it. Of course, the big one around here, Crystal Lake in Winston-Salem, was gone by the time I was born. It was large, 200 feet long and 65 feet wide, and came complete with slides, a snack bar, and a nearby dance floor. You could rent a bathing suit. Ew, it says. Well, the water came in via springs, hence the crystal in Crystal Lake. When the pool opened in 1925, bathing suits left as much to the imagination as possible. And most important, there was no air conditioning. How are you going to stay cool in the sticky hot summer? With a pool! That's the business model. The air is hot. The water was slightly less hot. Pay up. Back then, insurance was a thing, but it wasn't the fun, stifling, risk-averse business it is today. Thus, Crystal Lake had a diving board that rose 50 feet into the air. Seems high. There was also a big water wheel that rotated in the middle of the pool. But who cares? No rules here. Well, sort of. The Great Depression got rid of most of those big swimming holes in Winston-Salem, and they were replaced by plain old municipal swimming pools. Still, Crystal Lake persisted. It was there until the 70s when the Davis family got tired of running it, and any potential suitors were scared off when they learned just how hard it was to maintain a large concrete-lined reservoir. After it closed, Crystal Lake was plowed under and turned into apartments. Today's pools are simpler, and the water parks sure are safer in the end. But in the end, when it's hot outside, we all still just want to go where the water is cool. So remembers Jeremy Markovich. And that, my friends, is all the time we have for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, TriangleReadingService.org. Comments, questions? Call the studios, 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.